C-44. En route to Stevenson Farm, Eastview, Colorado. Dan held the pieces of the torn-up note in the palm of his clenched fist as Clark began the short drive towards Richard Walker's farmhouse.
"It has to be from him," Clark said, sounding very much like he believed his own words and wasn't trying to ease Dan's mind. "You said you met him on Saturday night, so you're obviously fresh in his mind."
Dan didn't say anything. Walker was the only sender who made any kind of sense, and the threatening note itself only really made sense as an attempt to nudge Dan towards revealing the full truth of the hoax, given Walker's earlier framing of full disclosure as a de facto emergency stop button capable of halting what he saw as the GSC's endless and dangerous power creep. The motive was equally clear. After just a few songs on the radio, Clark turned off the main road and onto the narrow trail that led to Walker's cottage.
"I haven't been here since we brought his dog home on our way back from Lolo last year," he said. "When you were here on Saturday night, did you notice if there were any new security systems?"
Dan shook his head. "I didn't notice anything when I arrived. I was, you know, not exactly present. But when I left, the main floodlight definitely came on, same as last year, motion activated."
"Okay. Well, we're here to talk to him anyway, so it's not like we don't want him to know we're coming."
Clark pulled up around 60 feet from the house and took the keys from the car's ignition.
"So how do you want to do this? Walk straight up to the door, or maybe honk the horn so he comes out and knows it's us? You said he was carrying a shotgun, right?"
"I think he wanted us to come," Dan said. "If this letter is from him, which it is, it was bait. And if he did want us to come, it's because he wants to talk to us, not hurt us. Well, he wants to talk to me. I guess he might not be expecting you to be here, so maybe you should wait in the car at first?
No way, not happening. I'm coming out there with you when..."
"Oh shit, Dan, get down!" Dan squinted at the house, trying to see if Clark had been spooked by a sign of the door starting to open or by something else. Clark then forcefully made him lower his head, and after a brief moment of confusion, Dan saw the problem. As problems went, this was a big one. Headlights approaching from behind.
"Who the hell is that?"
Clark asked, not exactly expecting Dan to know either. Now ducking for cover of his own accord, Dan replied more quietly than necessary.
"He said Joe Crabb is the only other person who knows where he lives. Maybe Crabb's just doing his usual supply run. He definitely doesn't know anything about the hoax."
"Well, whatever he's doing and whatever he already knows, he's going to have some questions when he sees the car and comes over to check who's inside. You think I should drive into the field or something before he gets too close?"
Dan glanced in the wing mirror. "The lights are almost here. He's already way too close for you to go anywhere without him seeing us." Sure enough, within a few more seconds, the car was in plain sight. When it came close enough for first the shape and color and then the license plate to become evident, Dan's face fell into his hands. It wasn't Joe Crabb.
"What the hell is she doing here?"
Clark groaned as Tara stepped out of Emma's car and walked towards them.
"And what the hell are we going to say when she asks us the same thing?"
With no answers and no options, Dan reluctantly rolled down his window as Tara approached.
"Hey," she said, reaching into her pocket. "I'm glad you weren't driving somewhere further away. Clark, I picked up your phone from the coffee table. I tracked mine to here. You must have it in your pocket."
Clark tried to play it cool. He handed over Tara's phone, an identical model to his own, and made a joke about how he should have known it wasn't his on account of all the weird calls it kept getting.
"So what are you guys doing out here anyway?"
she asked.
This is our uncle's place," Clark said. "We always stop by on either of our birthdays."
This immediately struck both him and Dan as the kind of lie that wouldn't stand up to much scrutiny and would quickly collapse if Tara ever mentioned it in passing to Henry or anyone else. But right now, their only concern was that it lasted long enough to get Tara back into Emma's car. Fortunately, she bought it. Unfortunately, it lasted all of a few seconds until a light illuminated the farmhouse's porch as the door opened and an instantly recognizable figure appeared. Tara Ford's mouth fell open.
"Clark, that is not your uncle."